Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Jonathan Smith is the head football coach at Oregon State. He joins us now. Sorry to make you wait. I hate doing that to you. How you doing?
Oh, no. All good, man. Called on time, and then they put me on hold for a couple minutes.
I owe you that. I owe you a couple minutes back. Let's talk about what you're doing. How much contact can you have with players? How much are you Zoom meeting still? Are you meeting? Are the players working out? What's going on in the college football world?
Right. What the route we went, once the announcement came that we were going to postpone the season, we took a couple weeks to just take a deep breath as coaches and players. We actually finished the week. So I think it was a Tuesday announcement. Talked about finishing the work week then. And then we've been kind of taking a deep breath for last week and then this week. And we're going to get back rolling the following week with, some Zoom meetings. But then we're still getting stronger in the weight room. And they're now gave us 12 hours a week, and we could do 5 of those hours doing some skill development, and so, which is awesome. We'll be out there coaching and doing some individual and throwing the ball around, and so that'll actually be more than we were allowed kind of leading up to the postponement. So that's kind of where we're at.
There's a rhythm to your job where, you know, you have the season and the off season and recruiting and spring football. That rhythm has now been dumped on its head. How do you not make that a negative? How do you look at the positives in that?
Yeah, you try to do it, it is tough, though. It's tough to navigate when you don't have an exact, more or less, start date, because everything's built off of, the date for the signing is December 15th in recruiting, or the date for start of the game, and then you build your schedule off of that. And so still having some uncertainty of when we're going to play a game doesn't help. At the same time, amongst chaos, there's opportunity, and then we're trying to take advantage of that, focused on, I'm getting out with the skill development now that we're allowed to do, which is new. I think it's an awesome opportunity the next couple of months to really master our craft and whatever technique we're talking, from running back to quarterback to linebacker, and focus on what we can control, and that's getting better.
There's always nasty stuff in recruiting and negative recruiting. Are you hearing any of that as you guys are out recruiting? Are the other conferences saying, well, look at the Pac-12, they're not playing?
Right. A little bit, bits and pieces, nothing major. And what I'd say to that is that as a conference, we're always about taking their safe and healthy at the utmost priority. And so I don't see it being a huge, huge factor. I mean, we'll see what this season looks like in the fall for those other leagues, and there's a lot yet to be determined on how well that goes, if it goes at all. And so we're just focused on ourselves, always putting our players first. We got a great product from a program at Oregon State to a conference. We got a lot to sell.
Jonathan Smith with us, Oregon State football coach. You've got some players that potentially could get a year of eligibility back if they want it. You've got to recruit as well. How is that going to work? You have a finite number of scholarships. Will you be granted some exceptions? How do the numbers work on that?
Right. There's some balancing to kind of your roster management with what you're saying. Guys coming back, well, you were counting on departures to be able to add to your roster, and how that affects those incomers. Because the incomers, some of them are coming in January. That is yet to be determined. I know for some of the spring sports, when all of that got canceled, they just allowed exceptions for your senior class, so you could go over your roster size by the size of your senior class, and I'm kind of assuming that's what's going to take place, but they haven't told us officially.
High school kids that will not play this year, how much of a challenge is that for you to evaluate kids maybe in states that aren't playing high school football? What do you lean on in a case like that?
I know, that's tough. I just feel for all our high school athletes not participate. And it's not just in Oregon. I mean, we've got other states doing the same thing. What you lean on is, you know, what they've shown as a sophomore on tape, if they've played some there. You lean on their high school coaches. There is other ways to evaluate in regards to, you know, combines or other sports, and so you do some of that. But it's tough. I mean, for all involved, to not being able to play, there's consequences and ramifications for, like you're getting at, recruits themselves and of course, our own players.
Yeah, let's go back. Let's think about Jonathan Smith as a sophomore. Would your sophomore year in high school have had Oregon State interested in having you be in uniform?
Yeah, probably. No, not my skill set. Yeah. I mean, back in the day when I was getting recruited, I mean, your senior year was really a big thing. And yeah. I kind of got more or less invited to walk on off of my senior tape. So, yeah, that's why I go back. It's going to be interesting how it all plays out and, you know, evaluating and making educated guesses on this recruiting end.
How do you feel about the team you had? Because, you know, there's part of me that my heart aches for the fact that, you know, you guys spend a lot of time and your players spend a lot of time getting ready to play, and you can't control a pandemic, and it's just not going to happen the way that it should have. That team that you had, I was really looking forward to seeing that team chase bowl eligibility, and I had you down to get there.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm sure every coach has found something similar, but I did feel good about this team. I just thought, just looking on the defensive side, the depth we had coming back, the maturity and experience that we had, the leadership on the team. We had a great core group of guys from really each position group that were just so invested. And I did. I felt pretty optimistic that we were going to put a really competitive, you know, experienced team out there that was going to be exciting to watch, making some plays on both sides. I even thought on special teams, from the weight room in, the development that's taken over place over the last couple of weeks or years, we were going to be pretty good. So it's disappointing that it's not going to start in September, but we're still holding out hope that we're going to get this team out there in January or February.
Yeah, let's speak to that. I mean, if the SEC and the others do play, I think it might open some minds. Is there a chance they could come back even before January? Is December on the table, or are they telling you at this point it's January and beyond?
Yeah, well, my understanding is January to do competition. So the earliest we could play a game, is my understanding, could be January 1st. But we could train and have a more or less training camp before that. So we'd be back and truly practicing if, again, all health officials and whatnot. But the earliest we could play somebody else would be January 1. And I think we're shooting to put a map, a plan out that we can get that done starting around January or February.
A guy like Hamaka Rashid is going to play in the NFL. Well, you know, I'm sure you're having these conversations, but what do you tell a kid like that? You know, he probably doesn't need a spring season to be a draft pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, we were having those conversations, and you're right, because there are, and it's not just on our squad. Every squad has some guys that have a lot of tape out there that, you know, would it benefit them or not for what the spring season would look like. And so you're having those conversations. There's a flip side to it, too. There are some seniors out there that need more tape. They need some more games to show the NFL that what they're made of, and so they really want this spring season. And so you're having those conversations. And the other thing is you're just training and wait. They don't need to make these decisions until we know exactly what the spring looks like.
Well, you and I have talked about this before, but, you know, you get a chance to maybe spend some more time with your family, silver lining. What did the Smith family do that it might not otherwise have had a chance to do in August?
Yeah, we spent some time at the lake. We got a little time over at we're headed over to Sun River today, to be honest with you. Just spent a couple of days. I've been there a couple of times, but definitely never been there in August. So we're looking forward to doing that.
You know, Coach Eliotti's over there this week. So you might get some football talk while you're eating an ice cream cone at Sun River at the Village. Jonathan Smith is with us, Oregon State football coach. I think his phone has dropped out. Alabama Adriana will work on that. I got a text yesterday from Nick Eliotti. Yeah, Rick Neuheisel spending time over there as well. Could have a coaching convention. Nick Eliotti asked me yesterday, he's got all his grandkids with him. He said, what do I need to be doing? And I said, take your grandkids for an ice cream cone. He said he got all kinds of board games. I said, go on the Deschutes River, float it with the kids. I said, you know, take them over and You know, it's just spend time riding some bikes on the trails. He said, yeah, I've been there before. And I could foresee a situation in which Jonathan Smith and his kids are over in Sun River, and Nick Galeotti's in Sun River, and Rick Neuheisel's in Sun River. And suddenly you got, you know, this hub of coaching in the Pac-12 that is all about the coaches and their families. And I think, too, like, look, if the college programs don't play this fall, let's say the SEC and the Big 12 and others don't play. If that happens, I do think it sort of reopens this conversation about, well, maybe everybody plays in the spring. I would really like to see college football have a unified decision-making process, at least the Power Fives get on the same page, because I think it would avoid some problems. We got Jonathan Smith back. I was just saying Coach Eliotti's going to be over there this week in Sun River with his grandkids, so look out. You may have some coaching talk on your hands.
Oh, yeah, I always love talking to that guy, man. Didn't always love him when he was the D coordinator. He's pretty good over there at the Ducks. You talk about a beautiful person and a really good football coach.
Yeah,
I've got to hit him up. I think I got his number. I'm going to call him.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. Like, you know, I went into that ice cream shop at the Village at Sun River last summer, and somebody said, hey, Coach Neuheisel was just in here. And it's like, you know, the coaches, I think they like to get over. You like to get away with your family. You like to be a regular person. I think that's good. I think you should be.
Yeah, totally. And I think sometimes coaches kind of talk about where they get spent some time with the family, and then you get little clusters of coaches that go to the same spots, you know, when you hear,
that's
like,
right.
Oh, it was awesome, and we spent some time. So, yeah, I'll call Nick up.
All right, before I let you go, I wish that all the Power Fives would be on the same page. How much easier would it feel to you if all of major college football, at least the Power Fives, all decided we're making a decision together? Isn't that something that maybe the Power Five should look at? Like, let's unify, keep this thing together, all get on the same page.
It would be nice, I know that, to be on the same page like you're doing in regards to schedule. And hopefully we learned from this, you know, experience of going through COVID-19 and all that it brought. Maybe that's one thing we've learned, to try to form something like that. It's not very simple. I mean, it's complicated, and there's different universities and presidents and whatnot. But I know I would enjoy being on the same page with other leagues.
All right. This pandemic has caused screen time discussions in our household. Our three daughters are on their devices now, and we're looking around going, we need new rules because these are new times. What do you do in your household when it comes to screen time and the kids?
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, because they are on it. And just because I'm not as familiar with it, doesn't make it all bad. I mean, my 12-year-old on it, but he's connecting with his friends, and they're playing games together, and they're on the headset, and they're talking to each other. And, you know, that's all good to continue to stay connected. So what we do, I do check the screen, the amount we've used and the hours you use at it. Because he's 12 now, he stays up later, and I want to stay up. And so I can tell how long he's been on that phone when I wake up in the morning and I go check the usage.
There you go. See? Stay on it. All right, Coach, good luck. Have a good weekend in Sun River.
I appreciate it. Thanks, John.
All right, Jonathan Smith with us, Oregon State football coach. If you missed any of that, get the podcast of it. I think it's really important, because I think we do forget sometimes. I know I do. I forget, like, Mario Cristobal, Jonathan Smith, whoever the football coaches are. I think sometimes I just think they're living, eating, breathing football. And I think part of, I got to be honest, like, part of the brand of coaches are the coaches who will tell you, I get up at 4:00 in the morning, I go to sleep at midnight, I'm dreaming about football when I'm asleep, I got a cot in my office, I sleep there. I'm not interested in the football coaches being that kind of person or pretending to be that kind of person. I think a lot of them pretend it. I think a lot of them want to give the illusion that they're out working everybody, and they say that so that if negative things happen, the idea that they're not working hard enough is not part of the equation. But I'm looking for a little balance. And I got to be honest, hearing Jonathan Smith talk about going to Sun River with his kids, I go, okay, that's good balance. And Mario Cristobal, a few weeks ago, I was trying to get a hold of him. It was like 3 or 4 days. I was trying to get a hold of him. It was really weird. I was like, gosh, he's not getting back to me. And then he got back to me and he said, I'm sorry, I was crabbing with my kids. My kids wanted to catch a crab. So he went to the Oregon coast, caught a crab, and then said he got a big sucker. And then he was so excited about it. And I was like, okay, that's good. That's good balance. All right, coming up, I'll give you our big splash. It's the one thing you want to know. We'll get an update on Damian Lillard's second MRI. We'll talk about the Blazers and their window of opportunity as well. Also, later in the program, we'll talk to a doctor who has outlined a process for the universities locally to monitor their athletes while they're working out. I know it sounds a little dry, but I'm not going to make it dry when we talk about it. Leave it here. You got the BFT statewide. I like that interview with Jonathan Smith. I thought he was, sounded like he was relaxed. Alabama Adriana, you got a chance to talk with him off air. You heard him on air. What'd you think?
Yeah, that was the most relaxed and, like, vacation-minded Coach Smith that I've ever talked to or heard. It was nice. It was refreshing to hear him like that.
Yeah, I think there's a comfort level he's getting in doing. I can remember like the first interviews he did on this show. He was a little tighter. You don't know somebody. You're coming on. You got people in your ear saying, "Oh, this, you know, be careful on that show," whatever he has heard in the past. And I think you get a little guarded as an individual. I also think he's kind of a careful guy. But you know, we are what we would have been. Exactly a month away from week one of the season right now. If that September 26th start had held up, Cal and Oregon State would be that opener on week one of the, that was the reprogrammed season on September 26th. Oregon would be preparing for Colorado. They would have had them in the revamped week one that has since been called off. But instead, I think you got Jonathan Smith knowing that he's got several months until he has a football game. I liked what he said about that January 1 start. Presumably, if everything goes well in the SEC and the ACC, you have this January 1 start date. So that means you could start practicing right around December 1 if everything goes well. Again, that may be a pipe dream. Our big splash, we give it to you every day. Today is no different.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there.
The big splash.
Well, the Trailblazers fell behind early last night, trailed 10-0, then 15-0. It was over before it even started. Game four went big to the Lakers, who accounted for 80 points in the first half of last night's game, and cruised to a 135-115 victory in game number four. The big news, though, for Blazer fans was the sight of Damian Lillard hobbling off the court, leaving the court, going to the locker room with an injury to his right knee. I rewatched the film of that injury. It's like you've seen it a million times in a million different basketball players across the country that you've got a tweaked knee or an injury there. MRI last night, Blazers said, was inconclusive, which in my opinion is not good. You wanted that MRI last night to be like, look, it was negative. That means there's nothing to report. There's no knee injury. Blazers said they wanted a second MRI today, which tells me they're looking for a second opinion. That could be that the first opinion was Lillard needed surgery. We'll get an update on that as it's provided today. But I don't think this is going to be great news for the Blazers organization. I'm hopeful that Lillard will be okay. I'm also on record. The Blazers, I think, made a major miscalculation in their front office. They have not been great in the front office with the summertime moves that are traditionally the off-season summertime moves. Neil Olshey sitting back, drafting players. I think he's done okay in recent years in the draft, but just not enough around Damian Lillard. It's this Groundhog Day thing that goes on over and over and over again. Here are the Blazers now looking at a Western Conference that has the Clippers and Lakers up at the top, and then you've got Houston, and you've got Dallas who looks scary, and you have Utah that looks good, and Denver's not going away, and suddenly Zion is, going to be Zion, and then here you go As you move forward, the Blazers' window of opportunity that was supposed to occur right after the Lakers faded, or excuse me, the Warriors faded away, this window of opportunity has now been turned into this crowded, you know, race to get through the window. It doesn't look good for the Blazers. Lillard's 30. You got two or three more years. You have to put good.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.